I'm Christy Kay. Welcome to Business Life After Hours, a podcast that takes a deep dive into real-life topics at the intersection of business and life. After the workday ends, that's where we pick up.
Emma Lemke is joining us today. She is a 20-year-old youth digital advocate at Washington University in St. Louis, working to address social media's impact on younger generations. As a senior in high school, Lemke founded the Log Off Movement, a youth movement dedicated to uplifting and empowering youth to tackle the complexities of social media and its impact on their privacy, safety, and mental health. As a youth-led movement, Log Off provides an often overlooked and critical perspective on social media. And we're going to learn a lot more about that from Emma Lemke. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So Emma, you in many ways represent Generation Z and all that social media has to offer for that generation. So tell us a little bit more about what got you started in terms of advocacy for social media.
So my entry point into advocacy related to social media and digital well-being and privacy and security all stems back to my own personal experience. I got social media in the sixth grade, starting with Instagram and making my way through the ranks of platforms from Twitter to Snapchat and to eventually TikTok. And when I first entered these apps, I was one of the last in my friend groups to actually be on. And I remember seeing each one of my friends around me slowly retract from the moment, look down at their phones, and no longer connect with me in person. So seeing that around me, I instantly thought, okay, there has to be something incredibly magnetic and magical about these apps that are pulling my friends and my time and attention away from me and towards their phones. So I begged and begged and eventually got the parents to cave, and I was given permission to get Instagram. And when I first got on, I felt that magic. I felt that allure. I was following people from Kim Kardashian to Olive Garden to all of my friends from middle school, and it felt like the world was at my fingertips. But that feeling was transient. It lasted maybe a month. And what I was left with after having followed so many individuals, curating my feed, posting consistently, was just a mirage. Mm-hmm. I was left with the reality that social media isn't magic. It truly is an illusion, one that is carefully predicated on capturing your attention at the cost of a young person's well-being, privacy, and security. So for me, as a young female, I was quantifying my worth through likes and comments and followers. I was being fed harmful content related to body image and eating patterns that led me in a direction towards disordered eating. I was consistently passively scrolling mindlessly for hours and feeling incredibly guilty, not knowing how to detach and not knowing what was happening to me. And all of these things were really worsening my mental health and my quality of life. And eventually, after, you know, multiple years of doing this, scrolling mindlessly, feeling passive in my own life and passive in my online experience, I hit a breaking point where I heard the buzz of a notification and had the Pavlovian response to grab for my phone. And between that buzz and the response, I finally broke. And I asked, what is happening? Yeah. How am I, as a young person who values so much control, allowing these platforms and these apps to really control me? And how is this being done? And how can I protect myself? So I detached and, in quotes, logged off for a few months and really reflected on my own screen time usage. How did I benefit from the online world? Where did I really feel like I was harmed? And I did a ton of research. I looked up everything from our algorithms, you know, how are they at play? How do they work? Is social media bad? And in all of the research, what I kept finding was more and more material with individuals investigating social media's impact on young people, both its the positive benefits and the negative externalities. But there was always a missing piece, the young people themselves.
Young people were not. I love that you're really getting them involved.
Exactly. No one was really talking to the experts in the space, the people who are experiencing both of these benefits and these harms.
Yeah, so, and you know, Emma, you are not alone when you talk about some of the symptoms that you were feeling and some of those issues of feeling, I guess I would say, FOMO, that fear of missing out, and really feeling anxiety, depression. And oftentimes, I know our youth of today, post-pandemic, and I'm sure before that as well, really have struggled with the implications of social media. So knowing that you're not alone and the fact that you're stepping out, being a voice for Generation Z is really, really important. So how do you see some of those talking points when you're presenting, in fact, to the Senate Judicial Committee and some of those things? What are some of the talking points and some of the goals that you have to really make an impact?
I think there are a few key points that I always return to in my work, and I tell other youth advocates to emphasize. One, it's that to fix this issue, to better understand how to protect kids online, we need to understand the issue, all of its complexities, all of the ways it benefits young people, all the ways young people are harmed. And what that means is providing a seat at the table for young people to not just participate as passive, you know, onlookers, but active agents of change. Young people need to be listened to. Their stories need to be uplifted. We need to understand where young people go to online to find support, where young people go to online and feel like they're harmed, feel those feelings of depression, and really work intergenerationally with lawmakers, with decision makers, with community members and young people to build generationally cohesive and productive solutions. And how you do that is you really have to understand and be aware that the experts in the space, when it relates to digital well-being and as it relates to building a more responsible tech future, are it's the generation that's grown up with social media and knows it better than anyone else, Gen Z. So from my perspective, you really have to have young people as active participants at any decision-making table. And the second thing is young people really need to become empowered, because I think we provide a very nuanced take with social media, because if you ask any member of Gen Z, you know, the genie is out of the bottle. We are not going to go back to a world where social media didn't exist, nor should we. But we need to really think critically at the individual and the societal level about how we want to spend our time with each other and where social media comes into the picture to amplify our connective, expressive, and exploratory benefits, but also how we can really work together then to mitigate its harms and to roll back a lot of the unforeseen and detrimental aspects of living in an unregulated digital environment. Yes. So those are the two major talking points that I emphasize in any room, any space, and really at the end, making it a note that any young person can come to the space, tell their story, and make impact. Because we're at a point right now where young people, I think, have come out of the pandemic. We have experienced being thrown into a world where the only way we can communicate with each other is through an online medium. And I think a lot of young people I've talked to are finally feeling ready to step up and push back and build those boundaries and feel like they're in control of their digital usage and their screen time. But what that means is people just, they need to stand up and they need to speak out and they need to start taking action to create the tech responsible environment for the next generation, because we understand the harms because we experienced it. Therefore, it's on us, it's on Gen Z to then work to build and to inform other solutions that will protect younger generations from the harm experienced from our perspective.
For sure. And I feel like the fact that you were brave enough and courageous enough to step out on an issue that was so mentally and emotionally challenging for you, not only for yourself, but to really speak up and represent a generation in a global sort of way is so admirable, Emma. I mean, what you're doing is truly helping a generation. So the question I have for you is, how has starting the Log Off movement helped you therapeutically as you kind of worked through some of those pandemic issues, the loneliness, the social anxiety, that kind of thing?
It has been a game changer. I really struggled with my screen time usage, and I still, there are many days when I slip back into unhealthy habits, but having the Log Off movement was a step for me to dedicate my time and energy towards being a part of a solution rather than exacerbating a pre-existing issue and being a part of something that, you know, I don't want to represent for other generations. I don't want to continue to see play out throughout mm-hmm. generations. Mm-hmm. It really was my way, I think, of engaging in a topic and engaging in a way that is really constructive to building the future that I want for myself. It also, what it did, it created a like-minded community around me that then instantly became a support system. Mm-hmm. That's one of the major things with LogOff that I have loved and that I'm continuing to build out is, you know, we don't know all the answers. We are still young, especially as, you know, a younger generation. We don't have the wisdom that many older adults who have been in positions of power have and have collected over time. But what we do have is we have a space now through LogOff where we can go to one another and we can share resources. We can kind of use an open source platform and an open source community environment to build upon each other's advocacy efforts, to inspire one another, to talk through issues, to provide unplugging ideas. All of that is so necessary to feel not alone because mm-hmm. like you mentioned online, there's this myth of hyperconnectivity. It's the idea that if you go onto Instagram, your entire life is on your phone. You should be able to connect with anyone you want. You should be able to have all the friends that you need. You'll be uber connected. When in reality, why is it that Generation Z is known as one of the loneliest generations? I truly do believe it is because we are a generation that has been, you know, put in a position where we are connecting with each other through another medium rather than being in person and being authentically. I think having community provides a certain level of more nuanced, deeper connection than a social media platform. Therefore, it kind of shows the beauty of having a digital space for community without it replacing full, genuine, authentic connection.
Mm-hmm. I know statistics will show that some of the Gen Zers can spend 15 hours a day on social media and maybe even more. Do you have such a thing as a recommendation for what is healthy in terms of the amount of time that, let's say, teenagers or 20-somethings, or any of us for that matter, spend on social media, on our phones, perhaps gaming? Is there kind of a recommended amount of time that is perhaps healthier than others?
You know, that's a phenomenal question. And I always say that what is healthy for one person can look very differently for another. Specifically when it comes to screen time. For instance, for me, I had to unplug for about 2 months and be off my platforms, Instagram, Snapchat, to then feel like I could re-enter in a healthy way. For others, I know some people who have to fully unplug, who don't want to re-enter. I think at the basis of building and determining what your healthy screen time usage looks like is reflection and awareness. With all things, to be able to address an issue, you need to be aware of the issue in the beginning. So I always say to people, if you want to build a better screen relationship, if you want to have a mutualistic relationship with your technology rather than a parasitic one that harms you, take 10 minutes, take 15 minutes today and critically sit down and scroll through your phone. And at each image on the app that you usually use, really prod into deeper questions. How do I feel when I'm looking at this image? Why am I following this person? Keep scrolling. Does this picture invoke any feelings? How do I feel in my body right now? Am I emotionally available? Like, what is happening? It's really just reflecting upon your screen time usage, setting a time limit, and allowing yourself to see how you are guided, shaped, and influenced by your screen time usage. Mm-hmm. And then taking that and saying, does that align with why I go onto these apps in the first place? I remember when I first was, you know, reflecting on my own screen time usage, and I repeatedly do this, I asked myself, why do I go on my app? How can I chart an intentional screen time relationship? And I would say it's because I want to connect with my friends from home and from college that are not near me, and I want to be able to send them funny memes, and I want to be able to see their lives. Easy. I did the 5-minute scroll. I could quickly tell, okay, what content really harms me? How can I feel like I can gain those benefits without feeling the negative harms? And for me, what that looked like was setting screen time, you know, boundaries in my apartment and in my place of living by saying when I'm studying, the phone has to be in another area. At the dining table, it has to be in another space. When I go onto my app, I need to say out loud, why am I scrolling right now? And if that doesn't align, or if that's not something that I want to do or spend my time, I need to put the phone down. It's by putting in those levels of friction between me and these addictive technologies that I've been able to reap the benefits that I sought after. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to connect with my friends.
Yeah, and I feel like you too are so aware of it. It is so front and center in your life now. And if we can get Gen Zers, and all of us for that matter, to think like that, and to really put that front and center in our minds and be very intentional about that, some of those examples that you gave will really be helpful. So exactly. Emma, when you're on Business Life 360, we do something that is called Quick Hits, which is a series of rapid fire questions where we ask you a little bit more detail about some things that we're interested in about you. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. What is your favorite social media platform?
Instagram.
Your hobby of choice?
Embroidering.
The last person you followed on social media?
Jonathan Haidt.
Okay. Your first pet?
My pet Sparky, my cat.
Aww. The kind of music you like most?
I adore folk and bluegrass music. I'm from Alabama, so it's in my veins.
Nice. Your leadership characteristic that you choose to emulate most?
Empathetic listening.
Love that. Okay. And you kind of mentioned this already. The city where you were born?
Birmingham, Alabama.
The most important issue facing kids' health today?
Social media's impact on youth mental health and well-being.
And one mark that you would love to leave on your generation?
The understanding that social media does not have to define you. You can define it and use it to chart a better path for you, your family, and beyond.
Emma Lemke, co-founder of the Log Off Movement, thank you so much for being the voice that we all need in this world to allow our youth and all of us to no longer be an afterthought. Thanks, Emma.
Thank you for having me on.
Find success by your own definition at your intersection of business and life on my next podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Christy Kay.
Business Life After Hours is hosted and produced by Christy Kay. Audio engineering, production, and editing by Chris Pfeiffer. Be sure to join Christy for her award-winning television series, Business Life 360, the third Thursday of the month on WGTE-HD or at wgte.org/b360. Business Life After Hours is a production of WGTE Public Media.